Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said it's better to complain occasionally and carry your own burdens than to cheerfully push them off on someone else. We're happy to have the privilege of Bible study today. We're glad that you're taking the time and you have the interest in hearing what is spoken in the Word of God. Let's get back now to our study, and we're talking about some things that are surely believed by those who are part of churches of Christ. Sometimes people represent you falsely. They think they know what they're talking about, but sometimes their accusations are based on just a misunderstanding. There are some also who have the idea that they can somehow or other put down other people by representing them in a way that is not true, a way that is not in harmony with what the actual facts are. For instance, in regard to churches of Christ, how many times have you heard people say, well, they're Campbellites? A man named Alexander Campbell, along with his father Thomas Campbell, were people who reformed and tried to work with the religious bodies that existed by encouraging them to get back to the Bible, get back to the Word of God. Now, to say that we are Campbellites would simply mean we have an allegiance and a loyalty to Alexander Campbell that is overwhelming. Well, let me say this. Churches of Christ believe that the Bible truth was established long before Alexander Campbell ever lived. He wasn't even in existence when the Church of our Lord was established. And so how could it be that the church that Jesus built would be called after the name of some man who came hundreds of years later? The point is that it's a misrepresentation, whether by accident, whether by misunderstanding, or even if it's said in derision. We simply suggest to you the charge is not true. So we're talking this week about some things that we really believe and some things that the Bible teaches. Well, we began with talking about believing in the inspiration of the Word of God. What does the Bible teach? Is the Bible inspired? Does it claim inspiration? When I say to you the Bible is inspired, I'm not talking about, well, Shakespeare was an inspired man, and he wrote some great things. Or there were other men, great writers in time past, who did great works, and they were inspired. Well, I'm not talking about it in that way. This is not a product of man we're talking about. We're talking about 40 men being directed by God, moved by the Holy Spirit, to write what God wanted them to write. And so the Bible is the book that came by inspiration. God told the Holy Spirit what to say to the people. The people indeed wrote down what the Holy Spirit guided them to write, so I can depend on the Bible. It's a reliable book. It came from God. It does not contain the prejudices of men. It rather contains what God wanted us to know. So I believe in the inspiration of the Bible. This would mean that when there's a discussion coming up about any matter, if one man takes one position and another man takes another, if I can go to the Bible and find what the Bible says about it, as far as we're concerned, that settles the matter. It's not a matter of quibbling back and forth and saying, well, you think what you want to think and I'll think what I want to think. It's a matter of believing that the Bible is authoritative. The Bible came from God, and so it's God's will for us, and we must listen to it. We also noted the fact that we reject other books, creed books, human creed books that have been written by men, and also books that claim inspiration. There are some books besides the Bible which claim they came from God. I hear frequently about a companion volume to the Bible. And the companion volume they're talking about is a book written by man and without Bible authority. The Bible claims to be complete. Well, if it's complete, what else is needed? There isn't anything else, is there? So when Peter said, God gave unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, do you believe that? Did God give us all things having to do with life and godliness? Well, yes, if he did, then we don't need these other books, do we? One of the things that people frequently do when they go from door to door is to pull out another book written by man that they claimed is inspired, instead of just talking to you about what the Bible says. I certainly believe that the Bible is the final standard. And for a person to pull out another book and say, we'll talk about this book and what is written there, really, that's not necessary. Because everything having to do with life and godliness is in the Bible. The Bible is the answer then, and that's where we stand. We also believe the Bible must be properly handled. It shouldn't be hard to reason that when God said, offer your son in sacrifice, he was talking to Abraham, and that instruction is not general instruction given to me today. There has to be a division. The major division in the Bible that you can see is a division between the Old Testament and the New Testament. When the apostle writes the Hebrew letter, he writes about a former covenant, and he writes about a new covenant. The old covenant was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2 and verse 14. The new covenant went into force with the death of Christ on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9, begin with verse 15. The point is made that testaments are in force with the death of the testator. That's simply another way of saying when a man writes his will, when he dies, his will goes into force. Well, Jesus is pointed out to be the testator. He is the one who made the will. What happened when he died? Well, his will went into force. And so that division is clearly seen. There's a division between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you and I are subject to the New Testament law of Christ, which went into force with the death of Christ on the cross. When I want to know, what must I do to be saved, I don't turn back to the book of Genesis and find out. I don't learn the conditions of my salvation by reading about Noah's flood. Certainly, I might learn about obedience to the will of God, but I don't learn the conditions. Where would I turn? I would turn to the law of Christ, because that's the law that is in force. So a proper division of the Bible helps us to understand that we live under the new covenant, and that new covenant requires of us that we do certain things in order to be saved, that we believe and are baptized. Well, we appreciate talking with you today. Please listen again tomorrow. Let me remind you again, it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.